Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 420 shows this evening. This is a Tuesday night. I'm doing a special podcast. Last week, Scott Beck said we couldn't get connected on air, or I couldn't. And a big shout out to Blog Talk Radio for fixing it. I got on it right away, and the engineers did what they had to do, and it's fixed. So I'm doing this special podcast for the wild horses and burros because we got kind of backed up, but I don't mind at all. And we're going to have another great show this evening on this wonderful night. So I just want to go over a couple things before we do get started. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear, and I am on the air because I really do care. But I want to welcome all you new listeners here this evening. Hope you keep coming back, spreading the word. You know, tell your spouses, your boyfriends, girlfriends, sons, daughters, neighbors, co-workers about this show, because the more of us come together, we are strength in numbers. And that's one goes out to Mama Cat, because she always says that, and it's so very true, because changes don't happen on its own. So when we all do our part and take that action, contact our legislators, and we will see changes if there's enough of us. If not, we are just spinning our wheels, okay? So let's keep fighting for the animals, speaking out for them, and doing our part. And let them have better lives and futures out there they so well deserve. You know, free from anxiety, free from abuse, neglect, you know, and all of them be treated with dignity and respect that they so well deserve. But I want to go over a couple things here. I will be taking calls later on in the show, so if you please be patient. And that number every Thursday, and also on the special days I do shows, is area code 310-982-4270, and you'll be in the queue. If you want to speak, just press 1. And I will get to you. Just try to refrain any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. All these shows you can listen in worldwide 24/7 once they're archived. and you could go back to the PPJ Gazette, www.ppjg.me, and there's going to be on the right-hand corner or column, you could put Voices Carry for Animals, and all the links will pop up, and you can also follow my podcast from over there. Put your email address in, and every time there is a new upcoming broadcast, it will alert you in your primary email. It is awesome. I even have it just to make sure it's working right. And also on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. Press the follow under the Animal Advocates Radio logo. Put your email address in, and every time there is a upcoming broadcast, that also will alert you in your email. You can always stay on top, or you know, and then all of that. I also am hooked up with that, and it is awesome. So please check it out and keep spreading the word, because you can listen by phone or internet. You can even call in from Skype, and also, you can, you know, keep spreading the word about these shows and share them throughout the social media platforms, okay? And I have some good news. I was notified today by All About Animals Radio that the interview I had with Erica Salvamini has been published on the YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and subscribe to All About Animals Radio, it is on there. And I tried to listen back, it was a great interview with Erica. I can't thank her enough. She's awesome team player, and I will be getting interviewed by her at the end of this month. I believe it's the 27th, and I'll alert everybody. But I'm going to be posting it all over tomorrow. We had a lot of interesting points on this interview, and I can't thank her enough. And Gary Bowden, the producer for All About Animals Radio. So please check it out. Host to host, coast to coast, speaking out on air together for all of our animal free in need and distress. So everyone, I'm going to get the show started. And Scott Beck said he's going to come on this evening, and welcome him back. And it's always an honor to have him on. We're going to rock and roll the airways. Hello, Scott. You're live and on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Debbie. I'm as always, it's a pleasure for me to be here, and I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
Yes, it is always. I'm all excited, and because you're out there working hard, there, Scott. You're out there rocking the animals world. And Scott, everyone, he's the director of campaigns at Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy. And he's been on many times, and looking forward to have him back again and again. Right, Scott? But go ahead and
tell the
audience, a little bit about yourself to refresh your memory and how you got started. And everyone, topics will be tonight about, there are certain bills that's in current legislation, okay? So we want to talk about those and get your help. If you call your state legislators, and this is a nationwide number, 202-224-3121. Give your zip code during the week business hours and ask to speak to your state representative or senator. And then you ask your your representative to co-sponsors any of the bills we give it to you. And there's a list of them on the PPJ Gazette online. And you can call them in and give us your help. Keep spreading the word, because it's so very important. Changes don't happen on its own, and it's not going to happen overnight. But let's see this be a victory year for the animals. Right, Scott? This would be awesome if all these bills came into a victory. But you can go ahead
That's
and tell
right.
the audience, how a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get and talk about these bills that's coming up. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I've been an animal guy since birth. I was born and raised in southern Idaho, raised on a small family farm, and we had horses and cattle and all different kinds of animals. And I knew from a very early age that I wanted to be someone who protected and saved animals when I grew up. And I went to college and law school in Utah. And as soon as I started practicing law, I immediately started working on, animal law and policy. I co-authored the first case book on animal law. I still continue to teach animal law and a variety of other animal-related legal classes at Willamette University College of Law. I have been basically a professional animal advocate, for almost all my entire adult life. I will advocate for literally any creature out there. I love them all. I even love, the creepy crawlies like the spiders and the snakes. I will always be that guy who is who's doing what I can to save and protect animals. But the fire burns hottest with me with horses, and I think it's because of the very important central role that horses played in my life growing up. I put extra time and attention into trying to get more protections for horses, and that includes, of course, all horses, but also in the American West, the wild horses and burros that are living on our public lands. So I am director of campaigns for two affiliated nonprofit organizations, Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy. And in that role, I work on a number of different campaigns as diverse as trying to shut down mink farms to helping to save the kangaroos of Australia. But my primary area of focus has been equine protection, and especially trying to save the wild horses and burros, and also to pass federal legislation to shut down the slaughter of our beloved American equines.
You're doing an outstanding job. I know Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy, they're always welcome to my shows. You know, I've had Wayne Pacelli on here and Marty Irby, Jennifer Skiff. I mean, this list is huge. And we'll continue to have all of you on because you're doing such very meaningful and heartfelt work, you know, for the animals. Because all lives matter, including all the animals. So what you're doing out there, you know, I know you're relentless, just like I am, and won't give up. Because once we give up, Scott, we automatically lose. And we can't do that because the animals can't fight for themselves. They can't, you know, call in this radio platform or call the police, you know. So we have to be their voices. And they're action takers, and that is the main thing, is taking that action, everyone, because that's when we see positive results, see the victories coming in, and that is awesome. I love doing the victory dance there, Scott, you know, the happy dance, the mama bear happy dance, you know, because, you know you're not spinning your wheels, you know, and they're not taking credit because it takes a human a chain reaction to take action, and that's when what happens here. You know, getting the word
out. That's right. And, you know, it's always, it is always an uphill battle to pass laws to protect animals. And that goes for whether you're trying to work at the state level or at the federal level. It's always an uphill battle because the forces that exploit animals tend to be very well financed, very politically well connected, and very influential. So, what we have to do, Debbie, is we have to overcome that political and economic power with people power. And that is, you know, by the involvement of, you know, average everyday citizens who care about these issues and are willing to take action by being citizen lobbyists, reaching out to their members of Congress, and making their voices heard on these issues.
That's right. And every effort counts out there, everyone. It doesn't get any easier than help make changes in the comfort of your home, your phone, your computer, you know, your copier, if you want to fax them and or you know, scan the stuff and email them. It doesn't get that easier for any of us. So we got it made and help them making them changes. Right, Scott? I mean, that's all it takes. It's not that hard
and,
at all.
You know, you gave a very important telephone number at the top of the broadcast, and I'm hoping that all of your listeners will write it down, because when it comes to advocating for animals at the federal level, it's the one phone number that you need to know, and that is 202-224-3121. That is the Congressional Switchboard. Where you can be connected with your United States representative and both of your United States senators and reach out to them and urge them to support these policies to save and protect animals.
Yes, it's so important. I got it memorized. I've called it so much, you know, and giving it out. I don't even have to look it up. It's in my contacts and everything. And also I deal with congress.gov. And I don't know if you're signed up to get alerts on, you know, different bill numbers, but that site is awesome, too. You know, you start up an account, and then you put, let's say, for example, H.R. 3656, the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act. You don't even have to put the whole thing. Just pay H.R. 3656, or it will alert you in your email if any new co-sponsors have come on board or any kind of movement in the bill. It is awesome, everyone. Congress.gov, and sign up an account, and this doesn't take that long to sign up, and then you can keep up on everything that's going on with these bills. And I try to update them every so often, Scott, on my social media, so everybody else knows what's going on, you know. So check it out, because you know, there's certain bills that we're going to talk about this evening. Let's go, if you want to go with the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act of 2023, there's currently, I checked it out, 17 co-sponsors right now. So we could do really get a lot more on board, and that's for the helicopter roundups, everyone. They traumatize the wild horses. It's unfair. It's cruelty. Front lines, it scares them. And it's sad how they're getting treated. They shouldn't be treated like this. But you want to go ahead and start with the H.R. 3656, Scott. Go right ahead. The Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act. Go ahead.
Right. The Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act would basically amend the 1971 Wild Horse and Burro Wild Free Roaming Horse and Burro Act, which was passed unanimously by Congress in 1971, signed into law by President Nixon. That is the foundational law that was supposed to guarantee the wild horses and burros that live on our public lands would be free of harassment, capture, and death. And yet the very agency that was charged by that law to take care of them, that agency being the Bureau of Land Management, is instead engaging in the very same acts that the law was intended to stop. And what we are seeing is that these wild herds living on public lands in the American West are under unprecedented attack by the Bureau of Land Management, that is clearing out tens of thousands of these animals to make room for more cattle and sheep, and also to make room for new mines and oil wells and those kind of things. But primarily they're being removed to benefit the commercial livestock industry. And the primary tool that the BLM uses to conduct these roundups is the helicopter. And I think we've all seen the terrible images of these animals being stampeded in fear and terror. You know, thousands of wild horses and burros have been killed just in recent years from these roundups. Thousands more have ended up in the slaughter pipeline to be sent to Canada and Mexico to be slaughtered, and their meat sold to hostile foreign adversaries like China and Russia. And it's absolutely horrific, and it's being done because the meat lobby, Big Ag, and the livestock industry are extremely powerful, and they've got the Bureau of Land Management in their back pocket. And so we do have some friends in Congress that are friends of the wild horse. I would probably put Nevada Congresswoman Dina Titus at the top of that list, and this is really her concept, this bill, H.R. 3656. And basically what it would do is it would ban the use of aircraft to manage wild horses and burros, and it would require the Bureau of Land Management to find more humane ways to operate. And so, you know, it needs a lot more co-sponsors before it's going to move. So if you care about our wild herds, and if you oppose these inhumane helicopter roundups, then please call your members of Congress and urge them to co-sponsor the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act, H.R. 3656. You know, and it's very sad, Debbie, because, you know, not only do these animals have to endure the terror and the confusion and the chaos of being rounded up by helicopter, but then they're sent to these government corrals where, you know, it's very difficult to know what happens to these horses because the BLM basically hides them from the public, only allows public visits under certain circumstances. And so we know that a lot of horses are dying in these holding facilities. We know that a lot of those deaths are not being counted by the BLM or not being reported by the BLM. And it's just a terrible, terrible time right now for our wild herds. And, you know, so anything that we can do to give them some measure of protection, I'm hoping folks will be willing to join in. So, again, that's H.R. 3656, the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act, to ban the use of aircraft to manage our wild horses and burros on public lands in the American West.
Yes, everyone. And all these shows are archived, so if you need to go back to any of them and get the information, you know, you're more than welcome. You know, it takes like 20 minutes to download after the show. And then, you know, keep spreading the word. I mean, because there's, like I said, there's 17 co-sponsors now. We can do a lot more if you get the word out. And I've done posts out there for it, and I will keep resharing because not everybody is on social media the same times and days. So that's why I keep running it through, you know, to get more, attract more action takers, okay? So if you see that, you know, because these, you know, holding facilities are terrible. And this is all, taxpayers are funding all this cruelty, and this is so wrong. I mean, it's terrible. I've seen the videos, and it's so gut-wrenching what these beautiful wild horses are going through, and with their families. They're scared to death. They're traumatized, and that's no way to let them live. They shouldn't be living in fear like that. So BML, they need to turn around and change over a new leaf, because we need some animal friendly people in there, because, you know, their lives count too. And, you know, we all have to come together and take that action. Okay. That means so much. I've had many shows on wild horses and burros, and I'm going to continue. I'm not giving up. Okay. So I've had for the rallies, I've had them just, you know, the different bills that's out there. So let's make a 2023 a victory year for the animals. They so well deserve, right, Scott? I mean, it's over. I mean, this stuff has been going on, you know, year after year, decade after decade, and it needs to stop. We got to say, hey, enough is enough, and let's do our part. Let's see some victories. I'm all for it. And I know Scott and Animal Law Actionists and a lot of animal organizations. So everyone, let's do it, okay? Make them calls. And even after hours, during, you know, and weekends, you could leave voicemails or write emails. You know, find your state legislator and email them. You write them a letter and ask them to co-sponsor. You can also do that too. Okay, so whatever it takes, let's make it, you know, let's hear some good news. Because when there's a victory comes in, that means it was teamwork all the way. Because one person can't do it. We all have to come together, band as one, because strong leaders and strong supporters leads to strong victories, okay? And that's what we would like to see. And, Scott, you know, you're out working out there hard and you know, getting on social media. You take some very meaningful time. Even you do your videos on Wednesdays that I've shared before. You're getting the word out. And there's plenty of groups out there for the Wild Mustangs and Burros, because I'm in a lot of them, and I keep, you know, sharing them. And so we have to all work together, okay, because that teamwork is so very important. But anyway, that HR3656, and we'll go to the next one, the Veterans for Mustangs, HR726. And, Scott, I also looked at that has 28 co-sponsors currently. But go right ahead. Veterans for Mustangs.
So, this is the Veterans for Mustangs Act. My good buddy Cameron Ring, this was his concept. He's a former service member and a strong supporter of our military veterans. And what he discovered was that veterans, especially veterans that are coming back from combat situations that may be suffering from PTSD and other impacts from their service, find tremendous healing in the company of horses. And the idea is to give these veterans a purpose and doing work that is meaningful to them. And the bill would basically require the Bureau of Land Management to train and recruit retired members of the military to get involved in the Bureau of Land Management fertility control program. And so, you know, this is, you know, again, this is a way, if we all oppose the helicopter roundups, then we've got to find other methods to address, you know, the concerns over population growth and so forth. Having said that, there really is no overpopulation of wild horses and burros. I want to make that very clear. This is part of the very cynical and disingenuous disinformation campaign by the Bureau of Land Management to try and convince, you know, the American taxpayers and Congress and the news media that there is some terrible overpopulation of wild horses. And what they're doing by telling those lies is diverting the public's attention to the fact that there are millions and millions of cattle and sheep overgrazing our public lands. And the Bureau of Land Management does the bidding of the beef industry and the livestock industry. And so rather than admit that it's the livestock that are causing all of that overgrazing, they're going to blame the wild horse, which on some wild horse herd management areas are outnumbered by cattle and sheep dozens to one. But, you know, for those areas where there is a need to manage population growth, the Veterans for Mustangs Act would require the Bureau of Land Management to train and recruit these military veterans to go out and do that kind of work. So it's a win-win. It's got, as you said, 28 co-sponsors, 14
yes.
from each party. And it is a bill that is very popular with Republicans because of the veterans angle. Again, it would give the Bureau of Land Management a much needed tool to avoid helicopter roundups, and on those HMAs where there is some need for managing the growth of the herds, let's get those retired members of the military out there to help with that.
Yes, and that would be awesome because, you know, just hanging out with them, because I have a couple friends that have horses, and they're so awesome. They're fun to be around. They love to be petted and talked to, and you feed them kids. They love carrots. I always get a big bag of carrots, and when my friends have their horses, you know, I can feed all of them, and they love that, and they become your friends, And so I could just imagine how much they help the, you know, the veterans. I mean, it's wonderful. And that's what we need there, Scott. Okay, so another one, it's going to the SAFE Act. Here is one I checked, H.R. 3475, Save America's Forgotten Equine. It has 161 co-sponsors so far, so that's wonderful. You know, so everyone to keep, because you can get up there, you know, real high, and the more the better, the stronger this bill becomes, right, Scott? The SAFE Act.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the Save America's Forgotten Equines, or SAFE Act, is a bill that would ban the slaughter of American equines, and it would also ban the export of equines for slaughter. You know, we have not slaughtered horses in this country for their meat since since 2007. During the 1990s, we were slaughtering and exporting for slaughter upwards of 400,000 American equines. That number is now down to about 20,000. But the conditions for horses once they entered the slaughter pipeline are so horrific and so full of abuse that even one horse would be too many. So the Save America's Forgotten Equine is really meant to enshrine our national love and deep affinity for our equines. You know, we have never in this country, we have never considered our horses to be a food animal. They have been our companions. They've been our partners in sport and recreation and work, but they have never been viewed as a food source. And it's only foreign nations that are eating our horses, and that is just absolutely shameful. Now, yes. The industrial agriculture lobby, the meat lobby, the big global meat cartels like JBS out of Brazil, run by a family of criminals that is in and out of prison for corruption, the largest meat company in the world, those are the kind of actors that are behind the push to defeat legislation like this. And so what we need to do, we've got an opportunity to get the SAFE Act added as an amendment to the 2023 Farm Bill. And the Farm Bill is a must-pass bill that gets authorized by Congress every 5 years, and it funds everything from crop subsidies and crop insurance to food stamps and WIC and all sorts of programs around agriculture, farming, and food. And the Farm Bill is a great vehicle for getting animal legislation passed. And so what we're trying to do is get the SAFE Act added as an amendment to the 2023 Farm Bill so that we can finally get a law that will protect our American equines, protected from this ruthless and very predatory horse slaughter industry. And, you know, these dealers that deal in horses for slaughter, they're known as kill buyers, and they are absolutely ruthless. And they get their orders from foreign meat companies, and they will lie, cheat, and steal to fill those orders. They don't want to know anything about the horses that they buy. They don't want to know if they're stolen. They don't want to know if they're sick or if they're hurt or if they're, you know, they've been filled with all sorts of medications and drugs that are toxic to people. The less they know about these horses that they are dealing in, the better. And then they are taking these horses and selling them to these meat companies in Canada and Mexico. And the way they're treated from start to finish is just no animal deserves it. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, how is horse slaughter any worse than, you know, slaughtering, for example, cattle or pigs or chickens? And I'm not defending that. I'm not saying that the slaughter of those species isn't also horrible in its own way. But the thing about it is, you know, those food animals spend their very short lives, for the most part, sitting around eating. They're never socialized to trust people. They're not socialized and trained to depend on people. And horses are. Horses are, we train horses to be our companions. We train our horses to trust people. And so to take, you know, a child's pony or a retired racehorse or, you know, a former, you know, riding horse and put them in the slaughter pipeline where they are beaten and whipped and just treated just so horribly, it's just a crime. It's an absolute crime to do that to an animal. And I think that means, and of course, we also don't have, like we have with other food species, we don't have a national slaughter and processing infrastructure for horses, which means that horses have to be transported long, long distances, sometimes days on end, with no food, no water, no rest. And, you know, and even when we had slaughter plants operating here in the United States up until 2007, the United States Department of Agriculture still documented hundreds of cases of horses showing up at these slaughter plants dead and injured and blind, and pregnant mares having, you know, in labor. Just, you know, the list of terrible, terrible situations just goes on and on. And then because horses are such extreme flight animals, they are notoriously difficult to accurately stun in the kill box. And so the USDA also documented cases of horses being fully conscious and aware as they are being butchered. And so there's nothing good about this industry, and our equines deserve a lot better than that. And we have been, you know, we animal advocates have been trying for decades to get a slaughter bill passed. And now I think we've got the best chance ever. As you said, there's over 160 co-sponsors. Republicans and Democrats are on board with this bill. And so if I had a request on this one, Debbie, I would say advocates, pick up that phone or send an email to your United States representative and both of your U.S. senators. Tell them that you support the Save America's Forgotten Equines or SAFE Act, and to co-sponsor the bill if they haven't already, and to support having it added as an amendment to the Farm Bill.
Yes, let's see some changes, everyone, because all these animals deserve so much better, Scott. I mean, and, you know, that's what we're fighting. You want to take a call before we go into the next bill?
Sure.
Get in here. Okay. Hello. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. You're live and on the air. Go right ahead. You have any comments or questions for Scott Beckstead? Go right ahead.
Yes, I do. This is Linda Greaves, and I just am calling to support what Scott is saying, and that these are really important things to do, and to please make calls weekly. And if you're going to call about multiple items, to call and then have a conversation about one item, hang up and call back, because they list and they make notes of how many times people call for each subject. So we want to make sure that they're getting called regularly. And if you call and ask them if they support the SAFE Act or any of the bills, really, if they say no, then ask them, can you find out why, and tell them you'll call them back next week and you want to answer. So keeping these people engaged and being polite to them, most of them are staffers, which are younger people that are just learning. So creating a relationship with them can really go a long way. So it's really, really important to really stay up on this. And I always say 5-minute Mondays, just on Monday for 5 minutes, get your cup of coffee and set and make those phone calls. If you get a person, great. If not, leave a message. They do go down and they tally these up, and eventually it does make a difference if they get enough calls on a subject.
That's right. Keep slamming the phones, everyone. And then Linda Greaves, she has been a former guest on the show several times. Linda, looking forward to having you back next year, you know, in 2024. And thanks for all you're doing out there, because you're bringing a strong voice, too, and you've done some great interviews. You and Heather, hell, you're that awesome. You know, appreciate you calling in and giving the info out, because it's so very important. Yes.
Well, we appreciate everything you do, Debbie. I mean, you're just an amazing person. And, that's the first of the year. We're working on the next conference, so I'd be happy to go over that information with you early next year. But like I said, everybody between now and going forward, especially the Farm Bill, we need to get that amendment in there immediately. So that's really high priority, and continue with the SAFE Act co-sponsors.
Yes, it's very important. Let's see some victories, everyone. In order to do that, we got to all work together, you know, be super team players and getting that word out and keep calling and writing those emails. Let's see all these bills pass for the wild horses, because there's several of them, you know, and when we work as a team, we will see positive results, because the stronger we become. You know, we the people have power in numbers if there's enough of us. If not, we're only spinning our wheels. So, you know, strength in numbers, power in numbers. Hey, the more of us come on board, hey, let's do it. You know, spreading all over social media. There's so many of them out there, you know, to track action takers. That's what we need right there, action takers. Because we can talk about all this we want to on this social media platform, you know, the radio platform. But if we don't take that foot in the right direction and take action, guess what? We're only blowing out steam, okay? And I don't want to ever think that. We got to take action for these wild horses and burros, the Mustangs. You know, I wish Ford would get involved, you know, because that the car was, the Ford Mustang car was named after the horse. You know, so I wish they would step up to the plate and help them. And because they have their emblem on the, you know, the cars, and I have a Mustang, and they're beautiful cars. But when we come together, I wish they would, you know, even commercials or something to be showing the, what's really going on behind the scenes with these helicopter roundups. They're terrible. I've seen the videos, and they're so gut-wrenching, and seeing them running and scared to death. You know, who are we as human beings allowing this to happen when we're taxpayers is funding it? So we got to put an end to it, everyone, because it's been going on so long. And keep it up. And Linda, you too. And a big shout out to Heather, all she's doing out there, because, you know, I know you're all relentless just like I am. And when we come together, and yeah, like, just let me know, get together with me for when you do that conference, and I'll bring you both on air, okay? Looking forward to it, whatever it takes,
okay.
With rallies or anything, you know, the peaceful rallies. So,
yeah,
and Debbie.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead. Scott?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, that you know, the animals are so fortunate to have, you know, an advocate like Linda. She's so knowledgeable, and, you know, she brings not just, you know, a lot of information and experience in you know, being a citizen lobbyist, but, you know, what I love about Linda is that she also brings a lot of common sense. And that can sometimes be, you know, sorely lacking. And to have someone who is able to have such a calm and measured way of looking at things, she's very, very passionate, but she is absolutely professional in how she deals with members of Congress, and she's very strategic in her thinking. So I am proud to call Linda my friend, and I am proud to be fighting in this fight next to by her side. So, Linda, glad you called in, and thank you, as always, for all of your work.
Thank
yes,
you, too. I feel exactly the same way. Back at you, Scott. Thank you.
That's so uplifting and inspiring. You know, teamwork, that's what it takes. You know, so keep it up. And another thing, Linda, then, you know, to those community chats on Facebook, that's awesome to have, too, because that you can invite a lot of people on them, you know, getting the word out, sharing and all that, or groups, you know, for the wild horses and your Facebook pages and, you know, and all getting the word out. It's awesome. But I have some community chats on there, too, with a lot of, you know, members in there. So as long as they keep, you know, spreading the word and signing the petition or making the phone calls, hey, we're on a roll, you know, we're not going to stop. But anyway, I have another caller calling in. Linda, you can stay on air if you'd like to.
Thank you.
Area code 719, you're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, voices carry for animals. Go right ahead. You have any comments for Scott Beckstead, please? Go ahead.
Hi, Debbie. This is Ray.
Hey, Ray, that's Mama Cat. How are you, Mama Cat?
I'm doing okay.
See, and
I wondered when Mama Cat was going to call in.
I want to give other people a chance.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't have a whole lot to add to the horse thing, except for that the 27th in Wyoming, the McCullough Mountain herd is going to be, they're going to do a roundup on them, which is kind of ridiculous because they're going by the number of the horses from last year, and they lost, I think it was like 75 horses over the winter, so the number is way down, and they're still going to take over 50 is what they're saying out of there, and that's coming up here in a week. And then the horses, the Sandwash Basin horses, which they went after here in Colorado last year, and then all of those horses that died while they had them in the pens from the virus that spread through there, I guess they said that their numbers haven't gone up any, so they're free and clear this year. They'll reassess next year, apparently, so...
Yeah, and Ray, you mentioned the McCullough Peaks herd of horses, and you're correct. The Bureau of Land Management is refusing to take into account the fact that horses did die over the winter, and you know this just the McCullough Peaks situation illustrates perfectly what we are up against. Over 6,100 comments were received by the Bureau of Land Management opposing this roundup. And
right.
among those 6,100 comments were comments by organizations representing tens of thousands or possibly even hundreds of thousands of individual member taxpayers across the United States. And despite all of that opposition, the Bureau of Land Management is going ahead with this operation that will benefit six ranchers that graze their cattle and sheep on the McCullough Peaks Wild Horse Herd Management Area. And this is, you know, this is one of our nation's most beloved herds. They are extremely colorful herd of horses. Very easily to find, easy to go and watch and take photographs of. They have fans literally all over the world.
Right.
So when we talk about why it's so important to be heard, this is the reason why. Because our federal government will put the financial interests of six individuals ahead of the wishes of thousands upon thousands of taxpayers who are paying their salaries and paying for their programs.
Yeah.
That just shows you what we're up against. And this is a plan. They are going to leave mostly elderly horses out on the range. Some of the horses that they are going to return will be treated with what is known as gonicon, which has been shown to permanently sterilize animals. This is a plan that is going to eventually lead to this herd's extinction because it is going to leave their numbers so few that they will lose their genetic viability, and they're headed for extinction. And so even though we have people, you know, so many people who have expressed opposition to this plan and support for that herd, six ranchers, is who will benefit from this operation. And this is what we're up against, folks. We're up against a federal agency that is putting the financial interests of industry above the wishes of the American taxpayers. That's what we're up against.
And they're ignoring the information. You know,
they don't even care. No, they don't care. No,
that's
all of the information that was provided about the lack of genetic viability, all of that was about the horses that died over the winter, completely ignored by this agency.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I mean, we've had, you know, people have been calling the field office in Cody, Wyoming. People have been calling BLM Director Tracy Stone Manning, and thus far, they are doing what they're going to do, and they have let people know that have called recently. Yes, we know that there is widespread opposition. Yes, we know that the comments overwhelmingly oppose this plan. We're doing it anyway, and nothing
right.
you say or do. And the other piece of this is that. They are not going to allow any public observation of the operation.
Right, I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, and so this is not a helicopter roundup. This is what's known as a bait gather, where they will basically
right.
put water and food in a pen, and then close the gate to that pen when the horses go in. But it is absolutely going to leave this herd decimated. And then of course the horses that are removed, the public won't be allowed to see what conditions they'll be kept in. The public will not be allowed any access whatsoever to those horses. So we will have no way of knowing if the BLM is going to be selling these horses to, or adopting them to people that mean to sell them for slaughter. The complete lack of transparency. It's not just the arrogance in completely dismissing the will of the American people, but it's also their duplicity and their deception in hiding what they do from people. They don't want people to see what is going on, because they know that just creates even more public opposition. So,
right.
Again, this is what we're up against. It is absolutely horrific, and you know, from an animal welfare standpoint, it's terrible for the horses. From a public lands perspective, it's horrible, because more cattle and sheep are going to be overgrazing the range. And from a taxpayer accountability standpoint, it's an absolute nightmare, because here we are. Wild horses don't cost the taxpayers anything when they're out there wild and free. But the minute the
right.
BLM rounds them up and takes them to these holding facilities, you and me, the American taxpayer, are paying through our nose to care
exactly.
for those animals.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a jillion ways of looking at this, but the McCullough Peaks operation that the BLM announced yesterday, they're going to start on November 27th, and all of us are just absolutely heartbroken to think what is going to happen to those horses.
Wow, this is so
yeah.
sad. I mean,
like
it's terrible.
Said, just beautiful, too. They've got the most beautiful markings of any of the wild horses I've seen.
Yeah, mm. they do. They're a very unique herd. A lot of pintos in that herd. There's a couple of horses that are really famous. There's a pinto stallion named Thor that has very unique markings. He passed his markings on to his new little daughter, a little filly
yep.
that looks just like him, named Thora.
Yep.
And, you know, to think that those horses could be gone forever from all of us who have come to know them and follow them and love them, it's just absolutely heartbreaking. And it's infuriating
yep.
because these government agencies, these government officials who work for us, who work for the people, who are paid for by the American taxpayers, are completely ignoring us. And instead, six ranchers will have more money in their pocket because horses got pulled off the range, and that means they can turn out more cattle and sheep.
Mm. Right. Well,
greed. It's terrible. Oh. Whoa.
Well, Debbie had a lady, Carol Walker. I don't know if you know her.
Yes.
You know Carol? She has got
I do,
some
yes.
of the most amazing pictures of them horses. I mean, her photography is outstanding.
Yes.
But I messaged her to try and get her to call in, but I don't. She hasn't seen my message still, so.
Carol is a tremendous expert on the wild horses, especially of Colorado and Wyoming. She's been following those herds forever, and in fact, you know, if I get someone from the news media that says I want to talk to you about the McCullough Peaks horses or horses in Wyoming or Colorado, where I usually say, actually, the person you want to talk to is Carol Walker because she is so knowledgeable on these issues. But another good one is Sandy Sifty, S-I-F-T-I. Sandy is also a phenomenal photographer, and she, too, is very familiar with the McCullough Peaks herd. And then Heather Hellyer. Heather Hellyer, who we were talking about just a minute ago, Debbie, she also she considers the McCullough Peaks herd. They are her heart herd, and there's one stallion in particular named Jetstream, and he is her heart horse, the one horse that she has come to love and admire above all others. And so, anyway, there is no shortage of experts who understand the issues around the McCullough Peaks horses. But more broadly, there are really good organizations working to save the horses and expose what's going on. Laura Lee and her Wild Horse Education is carefully documenting the terrible roundups that are ongoing in Nevada. And I would, you know, if anyone wants to just follow, you know, sort of daily what's going on with the roundups, I strongly recommend following Wild Horse Education and Laura Lee and her team, just doing phenomenal job. They're out there at the roundups with their video cameras to document what's going on. And of course, you know, without those people and organizations that are out there videotaping these roundups and documenting what's going on, you know, we wouldn't have any idea of the true scale of the animal suffering and the animal abuse that our federal government is committing.
I'll just say one other quick thing about one other thing. Wild Horse Education has some active lawsuits that could really change some stuff. So that would be also something interesting to follow if anybody has any interest.
Yes, definitely. Wild Horse Education. And also that Theodore Roosevelt National Park, they extended their comments until November 24th, everyone. And I'm going to be passing that around, too, okay? Because all this stuff is happening. We got to see some victories for these horses. I wish they would leave them alone. But we're down a couple minutes here. And, Scott, thank you so much. Another great show. I knew you'd be rocking airways for the wild horses and burros and these bills and current legislation. And then, Linda, thank you also for calling in and being a part of this. And I'll be getting hold of both of you in 2024 to come back on air, okay? And Mama Cat, thank you, my tag team. You're awesome out there. She multitask. Me and her, you know, work together, and she takes care of over 100 cats and colonies. So she's like they give her a standing ovation for when she brings her food and everything. Keeps them warm out there in Colorado. But everyone, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. And, you know, keep that number handy. Please spread the word. Let's see some victories. A victory year. I wish they would leave these animals alone and let them live freely. But this Thursday, there's going to be a show. Danny and Ron's Rescue, Ron Danta, will be on the show Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. So hope you tune in, listen in worldwide, everyone. All shows are recorded live and archived. And listen and share 24/7. And it takes teamwork to see any victories. If you want to see change, you got to take action, no questions asked. But anyway, after the show, it'll take 20 minutes to download, and these shows will be available to go ahead and play back on-demand episodes on blogtalkradio.com/ Voices Carry for Animals or on the PPJ Gazette. Thank you, Scott. Keep rocking the airways. And on Wednesday, I'm gonna, if I'm around, I'm gonna be checking out your video for the, on the Wednesday's win. Okay, and you keep
wild
it up.
Wild Horse Wednesday.
That's it. Wild Horse Wednesdays. And if I'm available, I'll be sharing them. Okay, so
Sounds good. Keep it up.
And keep that action taking, everyone, because we're all working hard together. We are all in it together. We're all in it to win it, not lose it. But go ahead, Mama Cat, and a big shout-out to my mother, Pat Dahmer, a.k.a. Moose. Thank you, Mom, beautiful woman inside and out. Love her. Go ahead, Mama Cat, paw in hand. Go ahead.
United we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Make
good night, everyone. Thank you. Thank you all for tuning in. May God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Linda.
They forget to bring me water. They forget that I'm here. They don't know.